Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord, that sanctify them. And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. See everyone here today. Few in number, but we know that we can have our God with the presence of our God today. It's getting started here early, so I won't be keeping you too long today. That whole children's story and everything's going smooth today. So we just go there. And yes, we know that in Zion, God does reign. Our Lord does reign. And all belongs to Him. And we are thankful that we are here this morning because of that one reason, because of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Come to praise His holy name and to give a little bit of His word today to see where we stand in light of it all. And I just pray that we will be able to see it and act accordingly as we do read the scriptures that we should be doing every day. In prayer every day, because we know that prayer opens many doors and does mighty things for us. So as we get started here with the old and new covenant, let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee on this beautiful Sabbath morning to come into Your presence, to worship Thee, to praise Thy holy name, to thanking Thee for that Thou art our Creator God, created all things, created humanity, and created us to multiply and occupy this earth. But we know that disobedience came in and changed everything. Changed the earth, even the earth. Changed man in his relationship with Thee, Father. But we know that one day soon it will be restored because of the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we will see soon, one day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Ellie, I speak up again this week because I don't have the use of the mic, so I was going to tell everybody come right up in these two front pews because we could fill it easy today. But there, but if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 8, and verses 8 through 10. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is a new covenant by which man is saved, and if we are not under it, we are lost." So we know that there we have to be a part of this new covenant that God has created with them, and we must understand it. Throughout the Bible, there's many covenants. God made several covenants throughout the Word, and man between themselves made a covenant also. So we'll talk about that. And when the claims of the fourth commandment are set forth, that we have a divine appointment with God, you know, many excuses are given. All kinds of excuses come, even some of God's people, even in our church, we have the excuses. And one that we don't live under the law, but we're under grace. But we know that people or the establishment would place us all under the old covenant if it was possible. The one that was broken by the people and no longer is in force. And only the new covenant will save us. And what is a covenant? And it's not very hard to know what a covenant is. It's simple. It's an agreement between two people. And in our case, between God and man. The old covenant was an agreement between God and man that they would be His nation of people and that He would be their God. And that's the same today for God and the church. For us to be His people and that He would be our God. And we can see this if we do that. When this agreement was made, God immediately gave them His character building covenant. And as Exodus chapter 19, if we just looked at that for a while, just a little bit. We're not going to read all of it because it's just quite wild. But here they're telling them when they come out of the land and go forth in the land of Egypt, the same day that they was in the wilderness of Sinai, they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped about before the mount. And then down to verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and for all the earth is mine. And then it continues on with this, what they were to do for his people. And this is the old covenant that we're talking about here. And it was made after the people came out of Egypt. We know that we need to have two people, we said, for a covenant. An executor and then a mediator also. It's a lesson. We know that God is the executor. And in this case, Moses was a mediator between God and the people to give this covenant there. But it was, there was a law connected with this covenant. And we all know the law. We read it time and time again to know that there. But God did the talking and God did the writing in this covenant to do it. We know that Moses did not write this covenant or this law. God gave the covenant to us and gave the law to us. And it is a character-building covenant if we follow it all the way. And we know that we can. There's ten commandments there, and we're to follow them at the best that we can with the help of God. But we know that it was not done away with, and it was not part of the ceremonial laws that was altered at the cross and was to be no more. Moses did not mediate this law. God spoke it, this agreement and covenant, directly to the people himself. The other covenants he spoke to one person or such, but here he told this covenant to all the people. And we know that God didn't accept these people as his own until they made that covenant of promise with God that they would obey his words and that they would do them and live by them. Exodus 24, verse 3. But we know that what happened. But a Solomon covenant with God, typifying the covenant between God and every creature in Jesus Christ. We know that. This covenant was between God and man, just as these others were. But to make this covenant effective, it had to be ratified and confirmed by blood. So the blood of animals was used here to do that. But as we read the history of Israel, we see that the covenant didn't last very long. Less than 40 days, the people broke it and rebelled against God. And without understanding the old covenant, it's hard to understand the new covenant. And the new covenant has a new mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here it tells us this covenant is the everlasting covenant to be there forever and ever. And we see the old covenant, the new covenant, and what is the difference between the two. And really, there's nothing different between these two covenants. The condition for gaining eternal life is the same. And we all know what that is. Perfect obedience to God's laws. It's the same covenant law and the same God who spoke them and wrote them. See that? And the difference between these two that there is there is with the ones that made the promise. We know that people of old Israel gave the promise, but they broke it in less than 40 days. The new covenant was made with our Savior, who ratified it with his own blood on the cross of Calvary. It mediates it to everyone who will accept it. And that's for us today. this as he did 2,000 years ago, dying on the cross and shedding his blood for each one of us. We have to be able to accept it to be one of his, to be children of the living God and adopted into his family, and to be able to live forever. We need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The new covenant and the old covenant as well, both of them were made with Israel. God never made a covenant with the Gentiles. There's no Gentile covenants in the Bible. So how does God save the people, the Gentile people who come to Jesus for salvation and bring them into his covenant plan? See, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, verse 29. That's the same for us today. It works for us today and will continue to work for it. We are adopted into the family of God if we accept Christ as our personal Savior and are willing to obey his requirements. And I believe that we wouldn't be here today if we weren't trying to obey his requirements. And we become part of spiritual Israel. There are many people today, the other denominations say that still Israel is going to be a land, the nation is going to come back, and they're going to have build the temple all over again. They're going to have sacrifices and such, but we know that that is not going to happen. So if we obey his requirements, we become part of spiritual Israel. In Romans 2, if you go to chapter 2, Romans, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We know that there we can be, are to become spiritual Jews, adopted into there, so we do that, so that God, we know that Jew and Gentile are alike. Paul tells us that in his word to that. And it's the heart that has to be circumcised for God, so that we can be a part of his. And then are the house of Israel and heirs according to the promise. We pray that we don't break that promise, because God's people in the past did. They broke every promise that God gave to them. And they lost out. And that was one of the reasons why the word was given to the Gentiles. To that. But does the new covenant have anything to do with the Ten Commandments? Yes, it's everything that has to. A covenant of obedience. And obedience to what? Obedience to God's law. And we pray that we all do that. And God writes his law upon our hearts. So we just pray. Those laws are in our hearts, and it's part of us to be obedient to them with his help. We know that we can't do it ourselves. There's no way that we can keep these commandments by ourselves. But man is not capable of doing that there. And the Ten Commandments law is written transcript of God's own character. And that's what we are to become like, Christ-like and God-like. It is God's nature to be what the law suggests. One reason for keeping the law on our part is to conform as closely as possible to that of the Heavenly Father. We know that that tells us that we are to be perfect as God, as the Father is. And we know that that's impossible. No one has been able to keep that. Only Jesus in humanity was able to do that. But these commandments are character building, and I pray that it's building our character in us there. And we just turn to Exodus 20. We know that the Ten Commandments are there. Exodus 20. One through 17. As we look at these commandments, we can easily see that the first four precepts pertain unto God. All these do that. And then the first four are our main duty to his creator. They are given to God's created beings so that in their response to obedience to him, he could bless them, strengthen them, spiritually, morally, physically, in every way, and give them wisdom. As he gave these there on Mount Sinai to all these people, and it is for us today, carried down to our time, to obey these commandments that are given to us. We know that the fourth precept is the memorial of creation. We're studying that now this quarter. And as Max said this morning there, that for the last year or more, we've been looking at this here. And even in our Bible studies Tuesday night with Pastor Dunn, we've been looking at creation. So we should be getting this down pat, I hope, you know, if we keep at it. But we know every time that we read it, we can find something new. We can never exhaust it. So that, see that there. So we just pray that everything done, if we keep the day holy, we are brought closer to our Heavenly Father. We can find that in Ezekiel the 20 there. You turn to that. That was our scripture reading for today. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verses 12 and 20. More also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. He sanctified his people then. He's sanctifying us today if we keep these laws. And hallow my Sabbaths. They shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. I pray that this morning, that as we are here today, that we do know our Lord. We know the God for what he has done. As we look at this creation, see how he created heaven and earth and man, and then all the things that he did down through the ages for his people. God has always had a people. He has always had the word. And we just pray and know that as a remnant people, now down at this ages, there's not too much time left. We have to be about our Father's business, doing the work to give the gospel message. And it's this community, Elmira, and the communities around us that we have. We don't have to go to foreign lands to be able to do it. Our mission field is right here in Elmira and the surrounding areas. So I pray that we'll all be ready for that. And this is the only precept, the fourth one is the only precept that carries the seal of our God. And that. And it's the only one that we are told to remember. And sometimes it's hard. We know that it's supposed to start at evening time, the evening time. We know that the time is different time. Every Sabbath, every Friday night, it's a different time frame. And we ought to stop ahead of time and be ready for it. It doesn't always happen, especially the ones that have families. There's only one or two people, maybe it's a little easier, but if you have families, you know, it's hard to get everything done in time to be able to stop and think even before the Sabbath day comes. I know that I had that problem, you know, that, and even when the Sabbath is ended, to take the time to digress that Sabbath that just passed, thinking to the next Sabbath, having that assurance that every week we had the Sabbath day to meet our Lord and Savior. In the sanctuary here, in this beautiful sanctuary. But one day, we will meet with God himself in the city of gold and set at the temple. There will be no there, but on his throne, no temple, but on his throne there with God or Christ beside him and the 24 elders surrounding him to see that, to do that. You know. So we know that we cannot forget these precepts. They're a man's duty to God and to man himself, to his fellow man. And it's the law, nature of God to be everything he has asked of in us in these six commandments. So we pray that we will follow them to the letter. If we didn't have these commandments, we know that the world would be different here, even though most of the world doesn't go by it. It would be chaos if they didn't take some of these commandments and look at them. Because you know that usually it's only the fourth commandment that they can't abide by the other nine. It's okay, they can do it, you know. But we know that that's not, they have to keep all ten of them there. So we'd be in chaos and we probably would have destroyed ourselves if we did not have them. Man is trying to destroy the commandments, and Satan knows that he's already defeated. even though he's going to try even at the end of the 1,000 years to take over command of this world, we know that he's going to fail. Because 2,000 years ago, our Savior sacrificed himself on Calvary's cross and conquered death. So death has no grip on us now. So we just pray that we will keep this everlasting covenant to be God's people, that he will be our God. There. And before we go to the song, there's some things that I might have mentioned some of these things already. But we know that Genesis 3:15 is a promise given. It was the first covenant to Adam and Eve. And then in Genesis 6:18, which where the first covenant is spoken, was given to Noah after the flood. Chapter 9, in verses 9 through 17, was also that. And then Abraham's covenant that was given to him. Chapter 15, the covenant. And then chapter 17, the covenant or circumcision. And that's the Abrahamic covenant, and it's the covenant of grace. Both of them, those two covenants, one given to Adam, and then it was remade and re-given to Abraham. It is ratified by the blood of Christ, and it's called the second, because the blood by which it was sealed was shed upon after the blood of the first covenant. The old covenant was found between God and Israel at Sinai, ratified by the blood of a sacrifice to reveal his power and mercy, and so that he might be able to lead them to love him and trust in him. And it's same with us today, that he wants us to follow him and go by his commandments and his word so that we can love and trust him. We know what God's love is all about. We can't, not able to give the true meaning of love, even of what God's is, or even the love that we have, because we look at love between two people and then love with other things and can have a love of material things, love of idols that we're not supposed to have. So we know that we need to do that. So we just, the old covenant term, obey and live. The new covenant was established on better promises, the promise of forgiveness of sin and of the grace of God to renew the heart and bring it into harmony with the principle of God's law. The same law engraved upon the tables of stone are the same written by the Holy Spirit upon the tables of our hearts. And I pray that each one of us has that this day here, to have those tables written upon our hearts, to be Christ and be God's for eternity, waiting for that blessed resurrection morning, that we will be able to see our Savior coming in that small black cloud, and it gets bigger and bigger and whiter, and Jesus upon the cloud with the retinue of angels with him. He's going to blow a trumpet. He's going to shout out and open the graves, and all the saints of the old are going to come forth. And then the ones that are alive are going to be caught up in the sky to meet him and to spend eternity ever with our Lord forever and ever. Yes, our Heavenly Father, you supply all of our needs. You take care of us. You give us everything. And we just pray and thank thee that you would give us the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was our Savior and our Redeemer, that through his shed blood, that we may have communion with thee, and one day be with thee, will be presented to thee as we have never sinned. We will be crowns put upon us by the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that each one will be there in heaven, that we will live the life here upon this earth that is necessary to be yours, to be Christ-like, to love one another, and to work for thee, Father, to be truly your representatives here upon this world. And we do know that we have this community here to work in, to work with our families where we have resistance. But if we are patient and if we are kind and long-suffering, the Lord and the Holy Spirit may be able to reach each member of our family that is against us. Help us, oh, truly, Lord, to be Christ-like in all things, to help us truly to be that, to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and for all eternity. In his precious name, amen.